Now, I'm doing a little bit different today because I really, we normally have our prayer time during our worship time, and we're seeing great things happen. We're very excited about that. But I got up this morning and I started going over some things. I really want to share with you some powerful truth that God's been sharing with me, and build your faith, because I want you to walk out of this place healed today. How many could need the healing in your body? Let me see your hands. All right, you're going to leave here healed today. Think about all the way through this message. Think about that. You're going to be healed all the way through this message today. I believe God's going to touch your life. We ended last week about talking about true worship and talking about it does not flow out of our emotions, but it flows out of redemption. And I want to go on this whole aspect of redemption because a lot of people don't fully, I think, understand about redemption. We're going to go into a little bit more of that today. We're talking about the Benjamin generation. This is either the third or fourth week. I can't recall which. We're going to be in a couple more weeks yet because there's some great truth yet to unfold in this. But I want to explain something to you out of John chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. The Lord kind of prompted me for the last couple of weeks. And if you read the scripture with me on the screen there, it's a powerful story. It said, when he had said these things, he spat on the ground, speaking of Jesus, of course, and he made clay with saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Now, I want to share some things because this story really jumped out at me a few weeks ago when I was thinking about the generation that you and I are living in today. This is a great, great time to be alive today. We are in a time, I think, in the body of Christ to where I know, without a doubt, the Word of God is really being unfolded to us like no other generation has ever known the Word of God. And it's very exciting to have revelation from God's Word that God can touch our lives in a more spectacular way. But this man was a blind man. And there's no question he was blind, right? He's definitely blind. But Jesus put clay on his eyes. I've often wondered about that. And I used to think about this, you know. Here is the man blind, he cannot see, but yet, what did Jesus do? He made some clay out of the spit, he made clay, and he put it over his eyes. The Bible said he anointed his eyes with clay, and he put the clay over his eyes, and when he did that, I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, because the clay would make him even more blind, wouldn't you think so? He'd be blinder. He was blind, now he's blinder. I mean, it doesn't make sense to me. So there's a very important principle here that is really outstanding. Now, to understand that, I'm going to go back just a moment and back in the book of Genesis and how that Adam and Eve sinned, right? You all know the story. And then God cursed the ground, did he not? He cursed the ground. There's a very spectacular point here that I want you to see. Now, once he cursed the ground, that means that it is absolutely curse. Now, the Bible says that when Adam and Eve sinned, that God came down looking for them as he did every day and walked with them in the cool of the day. That's in your Bible. And yet, when he gets down this day to walk with them, he can't find them. And he kind of wonders where they are. And he says, Adam, where are you? And the Bible says that Adam and Eve were found hiding among the trees of the garden. And I thought about that for a minute. Now, stay with me. All right. They're hiding among the trees of the garden. And what trees is he talking about? He's talking about the trees that they had dominion over. They had dominion over all the animals and all the plant life and over everything that was created. So they were hiding among what they had dominion over. So the trees were given, they were given dominion over the trees. Now, the trees were given also, at this point, for a very specific reason, we'll get into in a moment. But the trees that were meant for blessing, now think about this, the trees that were meant for blessing become the cover to hide behind. Now watch this, very important. Believers are still hiding behind or among the blessing. Now, Cain and Abel had an offering they offered to God after the fall of man. Cain offered the fruit of the ground, or the cursing. And Abel offered the firstling of the flock that he raised back to God. God accepted Abel, but he rejected Cain. Why did he reject Cain? Because it was a product of the curse. And a product of the curse could never remove the curse. Now watch this. Listen very carefully. And I'm going to hit some areas today. I don't want you to be upset with me, okay? Look at somebody and say, I'm not going to be upset with Pastor today. Please, everybody say it, okay? I'll feel a whole lot better if you all say it. All right. At least say this. I'm going to try not to be upset. All right, there you go. I feel better already. Praise the Lord. Not that I really care if you are or not, but anyway, I'm going to... here we go. Are you ready? Now, this is very, very important because I'm going to touch some areas today that I think need to be expounded on and understand the generation that we're in today is a lot different than any other generation that's been before us. So, you can't be healed by creation. You can't be healed by creation. It's been cursed. Nothing good can come out of a curse. It has to come out of blessing. Now, clay on the blind man's eyes made him blinder. So what was Jesus doing? He was showing that you can't be healed through creation that is cursed. That's a very important point. Now listen, and here it goes, okay? You can't be healed by eating organic foods. People are going to get wealthy selling you organic foods. But you're not going to be healed by eating organic foods. Somebody in the house today? I know all you health nuts out there. All right. Now, I appreciate your stamina to do what's right and all of that. I really do. And sometimes I do what's right. Most of the time I'm falling off the wagon and trying to get back on it. Say, God made pork to eat. I'm just saying. All right? Now, if you're looking for healing, I'm talking about redemptive healing. If you're looking for healing, you cannot be healed eating certain foods and not certain foods. You can't be healed by taking boatloads of vitamins. Although I do. By order of my doctor, Dr. Gloria. You can't be healed by that. You can't. You can't be healed. Why? Well, you can't be healed by vitamins. You can't be healed by medicine. Can't be healed by doctors. They're all product of the curse. Are you with me? So a product of the curse could never bring redemption. It had to be a blessing from God to bring redemption. Now, why won't these things work? In fact, you know, it's amazing. I'm going to go in a little bit more even next week, maybe, depending on what God would lead me to do. But I take communion with the Lord every day. And communion with God is the, and I'll prove it to you maybe next week, the only way you can be healed is through communion with God. I'm talking about the wafer and the juice. I'm talking about that very specifically, and I'll get into some of that maybe next week. But and I do that every day, and I believe in doing that. And I also believe in eating properly. But, you know, let's face it, folks. When you go to buy something that is organic, what does that really mean? That means you're going to pay twice as much for it, and you probably grew it in the backyard somewhere. We don't know what's in the ground. We have no idea. I know what's in the ground. The ground is cursed, according to Scripture. It's cursed. That's why God said to Cain, I will not receive that sacrifice from you. I will not receive that offering from you because it came from the curse. And God cannot receive anything that comes from the curse. So therefore, we're in a generation of people that's still trying to hide among the blessing but never receiving of the blessing. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And God's longing to walk with us every single day, but He can't find us because we're too busy hiding behind the blessing. God doesn't want you to hide behind the blessing. He wants you to live in the blessing so you can be a blessing. Everything about God is blessing. Are you with me? So therefore, when you look at this, the whole concept of this, you'll understand that you can't be healed by vitamins. You can't be healed by medicines. They're all created from the curse. You can't be healed by any kind of food because it's all created from the curse. Therefore, because they come from the cursed earth, you cannot receive a blessing from them. Now, should you eat properly? Of course. Should you move your body? Of course, right? If you don't, you're going to be going through a lot of clothing. You're going to be buying new wardrobes all the time because, well, this is a little tight. I got to go buy some bigger ones. So it takes money out of the kingdom, right? Now, I'm just thinking in logical terms here, all right? But I know that no amount of medication you take is going to help you at all. Long haul, it's going to hurt you. Why? Because it comes from the curse. Am I saying you shouldn't take medication? I'm not a doctor. Go to your doctor. If he says take medication, then take medication. I'm saying let's go to another level and let's start seeing what the blessing of God really is. Because I'm going to talk to you about getting healed and staying healed in this cursed world. Come on, somebody. All right? Now, watch this. Because Jesus said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Now, how many have ever read that scripture? Okay, three or four or five. That's good. I'm glad you're in your word. Hallelujah. All right. Now, when you leave clay on your blinded eyes, you remain blinded. That's why he said, go wash. And when you try to be healed by creation, you are still without sight. Now watch. It takes a revelation of the washing of God to bring healing into your life. Somebody said, well, I'll go on a Mediterranean diet. I won't ask any show of hands. But how many in your own heart of hearts have been on the Mediterranean diet? Because that's the diet Jesus was on. And that's what Jesus ate. Chickpeas. Olive oil. What else do they have in the Mediterranean diet? Rice. Garlic. A lot of olive oil. Couscous. What is that? You have couscous? What is it? Oh, God, don't ever feed that to me, please. As soon as she said grain, she lost me right there. Couscous. If it meant pork, I'd say, yeah, yeah. And if it's fried, a double yeah, yeah. All right, now, couscous. Where do you get this stuff at? Is it really a real food, couscous? Really? Too many of you know that. That scares me. That scares me a lot. This is the wrong crowd to be preaching this to. I can see that already. So everybody said there's a big craze. If you go to the bookstores, you could find a zillion, well, maybe not a zillion, you could find a lot of books written on foods to eat, foods not to eat. If you're a certain body type, then you should not eat these foods. You should eat these foods. Right? And who wrote the body types? Whoever's trying to sell you their food. So you don't know what to do. How many don't know what to do? Let's go on the Atkins diet because that's how you lose the weight. All protein. And all the men love it because we can eat meat. And more meat. And meat and meat and meat. And we don't want to eat vegetables anyhow, so glory to God, we're going to eat meat. And so Atkins was sent from heaven. How many know that? So what's the organization? PETA. That's a, what is that, PETA? People... No. People, what? People, what? No, not that. The real meaning of PETA. Ethical treatment of animals. What's the P for? See? People and the ethical treatment of animals, right? I went to Prescott, was it Flagstaff, 1 year. Took Don and Carol with us. We get up. Don's embarrassed. Don't ever go anywhere with Don. He's embarrassed. He's a redneck in Wisconsin. Can't get it out of him. See, goes up there and he buys his hat. Said PETA on it, right? And what it said on it, PETA, P-E-T-A, it meant people eating tasty animals.
There you go. Like pork.
Now, in Flagstaff, you don't do that. Because that's where all those folks live. They're in the twilight zone up there. I asked the lady standing there, I said, where can we get a good steak? She said, I don't know, I don't eat meat. Sorry. I'm I'm glad I'm not your husband going home with you tonight. Hallelujah. Looking for a big steak, praise the Lord. Right off a side of a beef, a cow. Well, let's go on a Mediterranean diet, because that is a diet, not the diet, but that is the food Jesus ate. So that's good. It's got to be good food, or Jesus wouldn't have ate it. Listen to me. Jesus wasn't born in Africa, he'd be eating African food. Wasn't born in America, he'd be having cheeseburgers. It was a culture that's what they ate at the Mediterranean. And it's good food. Don't get me wrong. I love Mediterranean food. But I try to juice it up a little more oils and spices and stuff. But it's very good food. And so go on a Mediterranean diet. That will bring healing in your body. It will not work. It will not work. It's part of the curse. And I can prove it, because everybody, nearly everybody that Jesus healed in the Bible, ate Mediterranean diet. Think about that for a minute. They ate the Mediterranean diet and still got sick. Why? It's cursed. We got to get out of the curse into the blessing of God. Are you with me? All
right.
Now, this is very important. Now, watch it very carefully. Now, the Bible says that Jesus is a sent one. So the sent one sent him, and if the sent one sent him to wash in the pool of Siloam, he was healed. Now watch this very carefully. You are not healed by creation. You are healed by redemption.
Yeah.
Siloam means sent. Now watch this. It's so cool. I'm going to break this down for you. It's so good. Now, go to you got Matthew, John? Matthew 28, 18 through 20. This morning I grabbed this. I thought this was so incredible. Jesus came and spoke to them and saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, go therefore." Say, "Go therefore." What's Jesus doing? He's sending you. So the sent one is sending you. Now watch. So go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Now that's interesting, because he said make disciples of all nations and not just the people of the nations, because God has a big, big vision. He's concerned about nations, whole nations. God wants to save whole nations. He wants to teach whole nations his word. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The Father sent one, sent Jesus, and gave him the authority under the Father. When Jesus left planet Earth, he sent the Holy Spirit. He sent one, the Holy Spirit, to come into your heart. And now the Holy Spirit's here. He's sending you into all truth.
Yeah.
Now this is part of truth I'm talking about here. Now get this, because this is a generation that really needs to come alive to health and healing. Like no other generation. Why? Because the number one topic in the country today is health care reform. Health care reform. And he's got the church now believing that if we don't have some kind of health care reform, that if we get sick, we're not going to get the care we need, and scaring elderly people into believing that you're not going to get the help you need because you're too old, and they're going to put you on the corner, let you die somewhere. Folks, listen to me. That is a bunch of hogwash. We are living in a generation where the church really needs to understand that we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. It is a done deal. We don't care what the world does with health care. I don't need health care. I don't need to be cared for in my health. I have been healed completely by the cross of Jesus. Got about half of you on board right about now. Some of you are still stuck back to the Mediterranean diet. Praise the Lord. Let's move into the future. All right, ready? Now watch. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Has the age ended yet? No, he's still with you. He's still inside of you. The Holy Ghost is still in it. Well, oh, the Lord, did he really see this age that we're living in? Yes, he did. That's why he wrote this for your generation, for this generation to understand that we can do anything we want to do, and we are blessed and highly favored of God. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? That's a powerful thought. Now, watch. The sent one. Now, watch this. In John 7, 37 through 39. Incredible scripture. On the last day, the great day of the feast. Say that with me. On the last day, the great day of the feast. Now look at that. On the last day, the great day of the feast. Sometimes we don't see that and we move right on to the next thing.
Right.
You have to understand. Remember types and shadows. You have to see types and shadows. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast. Now I'll talk about that in a moment. Jesus stood and he cried out. Look at this. On the last day, the great day of the feast, he stands up and he cries out. Here's what he said. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now watch, he explains this. But this he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now he stands up, he makes this incredible statement. What an incredible statement. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink, and out of his belly or heart will flow rivers of living water. Now watch this, because where did Jesus send the blind man? He sent the blind man with clay in his eyes to go wash in the pool of Siloam. So the blind man was not healed by the clay or the application of clay, but he was made blinder by the creation, which is clay is typical of creation. He was made blinder, but he was healed by the command of the sent one, which spoke of his redemption. Now, right after this, where did Jesus, this is so cool, because where did Jesus send the blind man? He sent him to Siloam, Pool of Siloam. We've actually seen the Pool of Siloam in Israel. And it's there to this very day. In fact, for those who went with me last time and we got to the Pool of Siloam and I was with, they asked me if I wanted to speak a little bit or something. One of our guide who was a Manassanite, Manasseh, he was a Jew, a non-believer of Christ, but he's a very nice man, our guide. And he asked me to, would you like to preach? I know you're a preacher. Would you like to say something? I said, sure. So I get up and I talked about the Pool of Siloam and the incident where, you know, Jesus healed and all that. And I started talking about that. And I offended him in some way that I said something about Jesus to the extent of the Son of God or whatever. And he got a little offended by it, which I thought was really very weird because we are Christian. We're on a Christian tour to see Christian things.
Right.
I couldn't help it because he wasn't a believer. That was not my problem. And so we had a little bit of thing right going on, not a big deal. But I know where that place is, the Pool of Siloam. On this day, say this day, the last day of the great feast. It's very important to get this. Why was it on that day, the last day of the great feast? Why was that important? Because on that day, in the Old Testament, a Levite priest, would run to the Pool of Siloam. And he would draw out water in a pail in the Pool of Siloam. In fact, it was a golden vessel, all gold, a golden vessel of water. In a golden vessel, he would bring it back to the temple, and he would pour it out as a sacrifice on the altar. Water mixed with wine on the altar of God. What is Jesus saying? On the last day, he's saying, listen, of the great feast, if you are thirsty, you don't have to get it from the Pool of Siloam in a golden vessel. I am the golden vessel. I am the one. And if you will drink of me, don't worry about the vessel. Don't worry about the Pool of Siloam. But if you'll drink it from me, you'll never thirst again. Jesus is fulfilling prophecy here by saying, watch very carefully because I'm about to show you a revelation that will change your life. This is very, very powerful. So he spoke of his redemption. If you drink of me, out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. Out of you will flow a dynamic flow of blessing or healing to a generation. The church doesn't know that today. So we walk around trying to eat better, trying to exercise more, eating those special homegrown foods or whatever. And we're taking vitamins and we're doing this and we're doing that. And we're working ourselves into a frenzy trying to figure out what is the right thing to do. All meat, no meat. All vegetables, no vegetables. I don't know what to eat anymore. How about you? Very confused. So therefore, I decided to eat whatever I want to eat in moderation and trust in the redemptive power of God. Now watch. So Jesus is bringing revelation. He said, look, out of your heart will flow this anointing. Once you partake of me, you're never going to thirst like that again. And once you partake of me, you're going to be able to have the blessing to flow out to other lives and touch them as well. What an incredible God. He's given you the ability to share His good things. This is incredible. Now watch this. Romans 3, 23 through 25. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That puts all of us in the same fix today. We're all in the same place today. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption. You see that? Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So you've been justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness. What does God want to demonstrate to you and to the world? He wants to demonstrate His righteousness. His righteousness. How does He demonstrate that? By justifying you freely through His redemption. Say redemption.
Redemption.
Through His redemption. And He wants to justify you freely and has given you His blood, given you faith in His blood to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. Redemption. Now watch this. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus. Say, I am in Christ Jesus. Look at this. Who became for us wisdom from God. So Jesus is wisdom from God for us. And righteousness. And sanctification. And redemption. Just take a look at that for a moment. Look at those words. How big and how awesome the revelation is there. That Jesus, who became wisdom for us. Wisdom from what? From God to show us His righteousness, His sanctification, and His redemption. God wants you to understand redemption. Sometimes in the kingdom of God, it's just a religious word. We've been redeemed. But you have no idea what the word really means. Now let's watch this. Ephesians 1:7. Look at the scripture. In Him, that's in Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Can it be explained any more than that? That means that God says, listen, I am so full of grace. I have so much. He's rich with it. He has so much grace that He wants to give it to you. But the only way He could get it to you was by having you understand that you were redeemed by the blood of His Son, the forgiveness of your sins. Church, we've got to understand what we're walking in here is called redemption. In Hebrews 9:12, the last scripture on this, not with the blood of bulls, of goats and calves, but with His own blood, He entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. You see that? Are you saved today? Are you saved tomorrow? Are you saved next week? Are you saved next month? Are you saved a year from now?
Yes.
Oh, I'm going to really try your faith. Are you saved 10 years from now?
Yes.
20?
Yes.
30?
Yes.
You're saved eternally. Eternal redemption. You see that? Oh, preacher, I'm saved eternally if I choose to be, but I can walk away from that. I challenge you, my brother or sister, find it in the Bible and we will discuss it. Not in there. Look at this. Once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Now, people are going to say, well, what does redemption mean? I'm so glad that you asked. Redemption in the book of Romans, redemption in 1 Corinthians, redemption in Ephesians, redemption is right here in Hebrews, all through the Bible. The word redemption means deliverance from the power and consequence of sin. That means sin does not have power over you. And if you sin, there's no consequence to the sin that you committed because of redemption. You ought to be free now to worship the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You ought to be excited about worshiping the Lord. See, some of you walking, you're so condemned, you're still condemned. You've got to get out of this nonsense. Now watch this. Redemption in Hebrew, which is the old covenant, redemption in Hebrew means deliverance from the guilt and punishment of sin. So when you look at the redemption, overall word redemption, it means delivered from the power and consequence of sin and delivered from the guilt and punishment of sin. That means you're never going to be guilty, you're never going to have consequences, and you're never going to have to answer for your sin, and you're never going to be punished for your sin, because what Jesus purchased was eternal. Once and for all. A lot of Christians run to the cross every day and picture Him back up on the cross again. He's not there. He's not there. In fact, He's not in the grave where a lot of Christians think that He is.
Right.
So they live like they have no power. He's not in the grave. He's not on the cross. He's not in a grave. That's why, and I don't, if you have one, that's fine with you, but I that's why I don't have a picture in my house with Jesus on the cross. That's why I don't have a crucifix around my neck that I wear with Jesus on my crucifix. Now, if that's up to you, if you like it as a piece of art or whatever, that's fine. If you have a piece of art in your house, that's fine. Nothing wrong with that. But I don't want any symbol of my Jesus nailed to the cross any longer. And I don't want a seal of the tomb inside the tomb or even an empty tomb. I want you to know that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is sit at the right hand of the Father. And He is saying, He's praying for you right there that you'll get a revelation of His righteousness, of His sanctification, of His redemptive power. And when you understand that I am eternally delivered, I'm eternally set free, I have no guilt, I have no punishment, I have no consequence or power of sin in my life that controls me. I am free through the One who redeemed me, who sent the Holy Spirit, who came in to me, who is now sending me into all truth. And when I understand truth, I walk in freedom. Redemptive power. I'm not needing deliverance any longer. And that's why Christians should not need to be delivered every other week. Pray for me, I need deliverance. No, you don't. You've been delivered. Now watch this. Pray for me, I need to be healed. Really? Technically, you don't. You've been healed. I mean, think about it. Whatever He did was finished. It is done. It's eternal. It's forever. Now the problem is, we don't know how to get that into our world right here. Don't know how to do that. Now, we need to get ready to receive what God wants to do in our life. We need to get ready to receive the anointing of God. Now, there has to be a receiving of what God is doing in the earth today. God wants to unleash blessings. I believe that with all my heart. He wants to release them on us in these times. Never before do we need blessing like we need them right now. We need healing right now more than we ever needed in our history. If you haven't seen the prophetic word from Kim Clement, I would suggest get on his website, look it up. 5 days ago, he prophesied concerning our president, by the way, that we need to be in deep prayer for. We need to quit speaking against and quit divisiveness and come together under the banner and begin to pray for this man, because he needs our prayer. Glad you're so excited about that. Forget about your political views. Throw them out the window. He is our man. And we've got to pray for this man of God. Amen? Come on. Got to pray for him. God, in that prophecy, you want to get it and go over it. A lot of things are in there. But one of the most powerful things that jumped out at me was the fact that God is about to bring, really, He didn't use the word, but the word, a redemptiveness in this country in 2010, which is just months away. The redemptive power of God. God's about to unleash something on the body of Christ and cause prosperity in the body of Christ that's never been seen in the history of mankind. What a better way for God to show who He is than in the worst economic times in this country that the people of God are a shining star and a beacon of hope to the rest of the world because we have Jesus on the throne of our life. And that we are redeemed eternally by Him. And not good times or bad times, but I flourish in all times because of Him. God wants to bless you. And we've got to get behind this and begin to believe and get ready to receive what He wants to do. You know, the blessing could pass you right by and you not even know it. If you're not in a receiving mode to take in what God has for you. Now, the truth of the Benjamin generation, I believe that we're in, is being released in this hour. No question about that. When the ten brothers, his ten brothers, first met Joseph, their brother, in Egypt, what was the first act of Joseph? He put him in prison. He did. It's in the Bible. He put him in prison. So they were in prison when they first saw him. Now watch this, because the moment that Benjamin came to Egypt, everything changed. They were released from prison. Things began to happen. In other words, grace was released and blessings began to flow. You are not going to have God's blessing in your life until you get His grace operating and functioning in your life. When you fully understand that I am saved by grace, I am kept by grace, you know, God's grace gets me through, I am healed by grace. God didn't have to do anything, but because of His Son, because of what Jesus went through, He went way above and beyond and says, I'm going to eternally redeem you, body, soul, and spirit, in every way possible just because of what Jesus did. He didn't have to do that, but He did it. So Benjamin shows up. Now, watch this in Genesis 43. Verses 3 and 5, 3 through 5. But Judah spoke to him, saying, the man solemnly warned us, saying, if you shall not see my face unless your brother is with you. If you send our brother with us, we will go down and buy you food. But if you will not send him, we will not go down. For the man said to us, Joseph, you shall not see my face unless your brother is with you. So the blessing then depended on whether they brought Benjamin back or not. Now, our job, I believe in this hour as preachers of the gospel, is to tell this generation the blessing of God will not come until we understand and release the power of grace in people's lives. We are bound by religiosity. We're bound by ideology. We're bound by theology. We're bound by, you know, our denominationalism. We're bound by everything known to man. We get bound by these things. Then we wonder why we're not experiencing what the Bible says we should experience. We're not experiencing because grace has to be released and grace has to be received. No, I'm going to release the grace today in your life. And I'm going to, how do you do that? By the preaching of God's Word. And release the blessings that comes along with grace. Because once grace is released, blessings begin to flow. Now, instead of prison food, those ten brothers that night ate palace food. Things changed dramatically. And Joseph threw a feast for them. Now, he said that in Genesis, but watch this. In other words, unless Benjamin, what it says there, unless Benjamin came into his presence, Joseph's presence, he would not entertain them or there would be no bread. This is so critical to get. When Benjamin appeared, Joseph, first instruction is found in Genesis 43 and verse 31. Look what he says. He said, then he washed his face, came out, and he restrained himself and said, serve the bread. The first command after seeing his brother, Benjamin, was serve the bread. Now watch this very carefully. Because today, our heavenly Joseph, remember types, symbols, Jesus, our heavenly Joseph, giving instructions to serve the bread. John 6:33. Watch this. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Who is the bread of life? Jesus. Serve the bread. The only way that you can understand how to feast on Him, Jesus, is by the releasing of grace and the receiving of the grace in your life. When you receive God's grace unconditionally, I don't have to do anything for it. I'm eternally born again, eternally healed, eternally delivered. Everything is done for me. I don't have to do a thing at all. All I have to do is believe on the one whom God sent, and that's His Son. And once I have that believing in me, then everything takes on a whole new meaning. And then you begin to have the bread of life released in your life through grace. Why are Christians sick? Why is there one sick in the body of Christ today? You say, boy, that's a tall order. No, it isn't. Because the blood of Jesus Christ has made a way for that to happen. But why are we sick? Why are we diseased? You know, there's only one place in the entire New Testament, only one place. You can find a lot in the Old, but we don't live by that. We live by the New Covenant of grace, because Jesus thought the old one was insufficient, that was obsolete, and Jesus took it out of the way through His blood. But once you understand the New Covenant, do you know from Matthew... Actually, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the only people that were sick were those who Jesus hadn't got to yet. Once He got to them, He healed them all. But you go into the book of Acts, you can't find a child of God sick. Nowhere. You go into the writings of Paul, you can't find a Christian sick anywhere. Those who were redeemed were healthy. And whole and complete. Wasn't a sick person among them. Read it. You will not find it in the Bible. There's no incidence of sickness except... Are you ready for this? They were told, there's one reason that you are sick in the Bible. You know that you are not sick because you sin? Some of you don't know that. Well, I sinned all day and I meant to sin and I did it on purpose. Every sin you do is on purpose. Is anybody in the house today? I don't know. I know when I'm going to sin, and I hear the voice of God, don't do that. And I'm like, da 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 da. And do it anyway. But you all are holy. You don't get all that. But that's, I mean, I mess up, right? And so, listen. And then, well, I can't be healed because I sin. Where is that in the Bible? Find it. It's not a reason for sickness. What is the only reason people are sick? When Jesus instituted on the last day He was alive, and He instituted the communion, Holy Communion. This is My body broken for you. This is My blood filled for you. If you eat this body, drink this blood, you're drinking life and eating life. Look at that. I am the bread of life. He who comes to Me shall never hunger. He who believes in Me shall never thirst. Never, 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 never. Never. Now watch. He instituted that. He said, as often as you do this, do this in remembrance of Me. And for this reason, many are sick among you. The only place in the New Testament where Christians are said that to be sick, and the only place, the only reason given there is for this reason, because they drink unworthily and eat unworthily. So we think, therefore, it must be sin and they're unworthy. But as you read the Scripture, it's not in there. What He's saying is you don't rightly discern the Lord's body. You don't get revelation. You don't get the truth. When you understand full redemption, when you get the word redemption in your spirit and you realize I'm never going to thirst, I'm never going to hunger, I have Jesus in my life, and even when I sin, I cannot separate the love of the Father from me. Even when I mess up intentionally, unintentionally, I know I can't miss it, because the only reason Christians are ever sick in their body ever is when they don't discern or understand or have a revelation of the cross. That's it. It's not in there. But we have made up Scriptures to think and teach that you messed it somehow, you did something wrong, or there's got to be sin somewhere in your life. Check it out. Or I'm going to have to pray and find out what I did wrong. And you spend your whole life praying what you did wrong. But has anybody ever heard from God what you did wrong? Because He can't tell you something He doesn't remember. You ever wondered about that? How many times have I stood before God and said, "Oh God, just tell me what it is that's blocking it. What's blocking it? What's blocking it? Why am I not anointed? Tell me why I'm not anointed." You are anointed. You are filled with Him. Out of you flowing rivers of living water. You can't get any closer to God than that. You are eternally redeemed once and for all, forever, 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 forever. John 6:48. Another one. I am the bread of life. John 6:50-51. This is the bread, speaking of His body, which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it, and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread which I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. So when you take communion, it doesn't become the body, become the blood. You are remembering. And I'm saying, God, I have a revelation. Every night, I don't take revelation for granted. Every night, my prayer is exactly the same. Lord, give me a bigger revelation of Your finished work. Give me a bigger revelation of who You are. Because I know my mind wrestles with the thought that I am not perfect. And I know that my body sometimes doesn't catch what's going on. And I get it sometimes when my own self-condemnation or self-guilt will bring me into a state of confusion. I understand that. So I try to get rid of that and say, God, give me a revelation of the cross. Let me know that this living bread that I'm receiving is really a revelation of You, who You are. Everything Jesus did is wrapped up who He is. And who He is wrapped up in what He did. John the Baptist's disciples came, "Are You the coming one? Do we look for another? Go and tell John what you see, what you hear, how the lame walk, the deaf hear again, how the blinded eyes are open, and how the dead are raised back to life." You know, Jesus, when He said, "Prove who You are," John wants proof who You are. Jesus just repeated, "I am bread of life." And everything He mentioned that He did, who is really who He is, who do you say that I am? Right? Question was right there. Everything of who He is wrapped up in what He does. And what does He do? Heals. He heals. That's what He does. He's a complete healer. Everywhere He went, He healed. He consistently healed. But yet today, we've done everything religiously we can to explain that away and say, "Well, it doesn't work." Preachers will say, "Well, you know, it's really not working, so I really can't preach it with that kind of conviction, because if I preach with that kind of conviction and it doesn't happen, then I look like a fool." Truth of it is, you can't just preach on healing. You have to preach on grace. Because grace is what soothes the conscience. Grace is what touches the body. Grace is what gets into your spirit. When you fully understand that, now you're in a position to receive what God has for your life. John 6:58 says, "This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever." You say, "Well, I know that that means spiritually." And you know what? It does mean spiritually as well. If you read that, really dig into the Greek of that thing, what He's talking about very simply, not only eternal, remember eternal redemption, He's also talking about, listen, if anything is eternal, it has to exist now. To be eternal, it's got to exist now. Can't have a beginning. When I get to heaven, I'll be healed. No, that has a beginning. You set a beginning on your redemption. You are healed now. I'm redeemed now. I'm seated with Him right now. I am right there with Him. I am there with Jesus. And I am constantly receiving the blessing from God the Father through Him. Listen to me very carefully. He's not only talking about someday forever, He's talking about right now forever. If you look at the Bible, and once again, that's our only guide, when you go and look at Christians in the Bible, try to find for me Christians in the Word of God, in the New Testament, that actually died. And if they were believers in Him, He brought them back. You say, well, how do we die then? I'm glad you asked. We take when our life is finished, when my destiny is finished, when I have fulfilled my purpose, when my purpose is up, I don't get cancer and go out. I don't get heart disease and go out. When my purpose is up, I no longer need to function here because I am done. That's when I choose to go to sleep at night, close my eyes, take a deep breath, and wake up on the other side. That's how Christians ought to go home.
Right.
Is anybody here today? Come on. You see, that sounds radical to me. I'm glad you noticed, because this is all about radical thinking. You have to get your mind straightened out. You have to understand what God has for us. We have to get ready for His end time blessing. This is the end time blessing I'm talking about. It's time for the feast of God. Something has got to happen today. Today. Something's got to happen today. You've got to have a turning point in your life today. There are too many people in the kingdom of God that have been bought with a price, that are sick in their body. Doesn't make you a bad person, folks. It doesn't. But the only thing in Scripture, the only reason in Scripture that I can find in the Word of God says, for this reason, people are sick among you. Many, the Bible says, are sick in the kingdom of God, in the church of Jesus Christ. Many are sick. Why? Because you have not rightly, because you took His unworthily. In other words, you haven't understood the revelation of the cross. You come together and you eat and you party and have fun and you think this is all going to somehow pan out. It doesn't work like that. We have to focus in on the finished work. I focus on the body. It's very interesting. We're given a little wafer. Very, very cool. And there's a lot to the whole teaching and all of that. But if you take that, Jesus, this is my body broken for you. If you take that and you put it in your mouth and you bite it, what happens to that little thing? It makes a cracking, popping sound. Right? It's His body being broke for you. Get that. Jesus Christ paid an incredible price for your health. And yet we're trying to exercise our way there, doctor our way there. We're trying to operate our way there, let doctors operate, take things out, sometimes put some things in. I say, well, thank God we live in this century, this day and age where medicine is so advanced. Let me tell you something. Do you know that the bulk of people who die in the hospitals today, and I'm not kidding you, you know this to be true. Any nurse knows this. You go in well, and you die. My advice is stay out of hospitals. Staph infection kills more people than anything else. They didn't go in with staph infection, but you pick it up. Why? Because you're around sick folk. My advice is, don't go to the hospitals. Do not check in, because you may not check out. I'm so sensitive in my spirit. My wife is too. I could feel like $1 million. Wonderful. You have to go to the hospital to visit somebody. You ought to know this. And you walk in the hospital like, oh, jeez, I feel, ugh, you know? And by the time you get to the room, you're like, I need prayer. Anybody come around and pray for me? Somebody pray for me, please. the atmosphere, isn't it? When Jesus had to raise a little girl from the dead, he had to run all that atmosphere out, clear the atmosphere, to bring a miracle in that little girl. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Medication can't heal you. Doctors can't heal you. In fact, every drug you take, what it helps in one symptom will give you about 10 others. Vitamins are not going to heal you, as good as they are for you. None of that's going to work. Mediterranean diet is not going to work. You eat it because it's good, then good. But a certain kind of food is not going to bring health into your body. Yet we're on our airways now on every Christian program, bringing doctors on to tell you how to get well. And none of them are about the finished work of Jesus. None of them are about the cross. None of them are about the blood. By His stripes I am healed. None of them. None of them. I may be radical, and I may be just passionate about this, but I'm telling you right now, if it's not in this book, I don't want anything to do with it. I don't want nothing to do with it. Nothing. Doesn't mean that I do not, listen, does not mean that I don't wrestle within my own self. I do. Some things I got to do. But I realized a long time ago, the only way I'm going to be completely healed in my body is by catching a revelation of what He did. That's why I go to God every single day with it. And I'm going to tell you something. I hate to admit it, I'm 61 years old. And I probably look better than I ever have. Probably feel better than I ever have. Young at heart. Young in your body. You checking out or you checking in? You've got to get things right in your head. By His stripes, I am healed. Can't look at other circumstances. You have to look right at the Word of God. Keep your eyes focused on the Word of God. Do not be found, rewind back to the beginning, do not be found hiding behind the blessing. Trees were for food, blessing. Think about that. When they sinned, they hid behind the blessing. Where are you? We're hiding. We're naked. Who told you that? God didn't tell him that. God brought two animal skins with him. He already foresaw it. God made a sacrifice already for those two. They're hiding in the blessing. Listen very carefully. You need to control the curse. Ride over it. Believe God. Touch your body today, right now. And if you are sick in your body, I'd make my way to this altar as fast as I can get here right now. Move this pulpit out of the way. Get up here quickly. Come on. Nobody's moving. Come on, quickly. Get up here. You need to be healed. Come on up here. It's not a reflection on you. It's a reflection if you sit there and stay sick. That's a reflection. Get up here and get well. Come on, get well. Some of you have got sick, got better, got sick, got better. That's enough of that. Let's break that cycle. Come on up here. Some of you have got like an assignment against you. Like an assignment against you. Quickly. Hallelujah. Make your way up here. I'm going to wait, but you need to get up here quickly. Who felt in their body when I was preaching? Who felt in your body that you were healed sitting out there? Who felt? Yeah, you at the altar. Who felt? Did you feel it, Lee? Is that amazing? I just felt that. I just felt like somebody just... I'm grabbing it right now. I'm grabbing it right now. It's like that's discerning the Lord's body. When you get it, you get it. It's like that. Now, I want you to look at me for a second. This is not a mystical experience you're about to have. This is not, you know... A pastor's going to touch me and I'm going to be better. Listen to me. I don't have anything in me any more than you have, except the Holy Spirit, right? We all have Him. So there's nothing in me any more powerful than what's in you. Nothing. Too many times we put our faith in what man's going to do. And I don't have anything in me to bring healing other than what Jesus said to do. And I'm going to do what he said to do. Lay hands upon the sick and they're going to recover. But who's the healer? Jesus is the healer. What makes him the healer? Because he paid the price for you. He took in his body everything you will ever have. In other words, in his body went all cancer. In his body went all heart disease. In his body went, listen to me, sometimes we focus on colds and things of that nature. And those are important to pray for. But we're dealing with life-threatening situations now in this world. You can walk through a cold. You can get through a headache. You can get through some issues in life. We're not talking about those, although you should walk upright. But those are things you'll learn. But what's more important is our brothers and sisters are dying from diseases that they shouldn't die from because Jesus paid the price. So it's much more important to get a revelation of who He is because of the situation you're going through in your life, which is really detrimental to your well-being. Which means that you're not going to get well without Him. What makes Him the healer? Because He is the one who paid for you to be healed. He's the one who paid the price that God required, which is His blood, which is His body. God said, the only way I can bring healing to a generation from now and forevermore is through a person who cannot be identified with sin, except yours. In other words, He completed life without sin, not even one time. He was absolutely perfect in every single way. But when it comes to the cross, He took all of your sin, all of your sickness, all of your disease in His body. That's why He said, take this. This is my body broken for you. When you partake of this, you're partaking of me. He said, eat my flesh, drink my blood. If you don't, you have no life in you. Life then comes from His flesh. Life comes from His blood. We can't obviously eat Him, His flesh and blood, but we can do it with symbols, which is what He said to do. And if you do this, do it remembering what I did for you. Ask God for revelation. I want you to close your eyes at the altar right now. Just focus in on the cross right now. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to see whatever it is that you're going through in your body. I want you to see that ailment, that pain, that problem. I want you to see it in His body. He took it. Release it right now. Whatever it is, you release it right now. You release it because it's in His body. It's not in your body, it's in His body. Clogged arteries were in His body, Jesus' body, so that you can have unclogged arteries. Heart condition was in His body, so that you can have a pure heart, a healthy heart. Watch this. All of your bad blood, all of your sugar diabetes, all these things that have names, sicknesses and diseases, all of that is in His body. Do you see that? It's in His body, not in yours, in His, because He took it. He willingly took it, received it, and He has proof by the stripes that He took, the beating that He took on His back. All His. He took it all for you. That's what gives Him the right to be the healer. Men cannot heal. We don't have the authority other than the one who gave us the authority, which is Jesus, who is the healer Himself. So I'm going to pray for you. But I want you to look to heaven with all your heart right now. It's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's why Paul said, I preach nothing but Christ crucified. I love that message. Because your sin is forgiven. Your body is healed. Your well-being is taken care of. Your minds are clear. Everything you ever did is gone in His body. In His body. Honey, I want you to come quickly. I want you to start at one end. I don't want you to take a lot of time, but I want you to go right down through. I want you to walk through and touch every one of them. Lift your hands, folks. Let's just worship the King right now. Get ready. My wife's highly anointed of God. Right now, just receive. Remember the receiving part. Just receive. say, what I've got is on Jesus. What I've got is in Jesus. It's not in me anymore. It's in Him. He took my sickness. He took my disease. He took my infirmity. I am well today. I am healthy today. I am happy. I am whole. I am complete in Him. Right now, just receive. Right now, receive what the Lord's doing in your body right now. In the name of Jesus, receive it right now. Father, thank You that blood diseases are being healed in the name of Jesus. Thank You that heart disease is being healed in the name of Jesus. Thank You, Lord, right now. Oh, glory to God. Thank You, Lord, diabetes being healed in the name of Jesus right now. Thank You for it, Lord, right now. Brand new heart. Brand new heart in the name of Jesus. Thank You for it, Lord. Every pain gone in the name of Jesus. I thank You. I thank You, Lord, that we've been redeemed from the curse. That we are not under curse. We're under the blessing of God. We're not going to hide around the blessing. We're going to walk with the blessing. And Father, I thank You right now for the touch of Your Spirit upon this service right now. Thank You, Lord, that miracles will come from this simple anointing of God this morning. Thank You for it, Lord, right now. Revelation. Revelation flow right now. Revelation flow right now. Revelation flow right now. Our answer is in You, Jesus. I thank You for it, Lord. Hallelujah. When my wife lays hands upon them, Father, may they sense the Holy Spirit more powerful than they ever have before. Thank You, Lord, for it right now. We're expecting a miracle. In the name of Jesus, we give You all the glory, all the praise, Father. Thank You for it, Lord, right now. Healed, 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 healed. Tell God, I'm the healed of the Lord. I am the healed of the Lord. I walk in health. I walk in prosperity. I walk in forgiveness. I walk in an anointing. I'm the house of God. I'm not the house of disease. I'm the house of blessing. I'm the house of the presence of the Lord. I'm the Holy of Holies. And I thank You, Lord, right now for the blessing. I thank You, my God, that by Your stripes I'm healed. Done. Over. Finished. It's done. I thank You, Lord, for healing right now. For lungs being healed right now. In Jesus' name. Thank You for it, Lord, right now. Manifestation of Your glory upon these people. I thank You for it, Lord. I expect it to happen. I believe for it. I'd be shocked if it didn't happen, Lord. I'd be stunned if it didn't happen. I thank You for the anointing right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank You, my God. Thank You, thank You, thank You. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You, Lord, for Your mercy. Say with me, say, thank You, Lord, for Your grace. Say it again. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your favor. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You, God, for the cross of Christ. I am redeemed forever, eternally redeemed, body, soul, and spirit. I am healed, the top of my head to the sole of my feet. I am healed. Lord, give me a revelation of the finished work of Jesus. I believe. The cross is my answer, my only answer. Thank You, Lord, for what You're doing in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord a big shout. Come on. Hallelujah. Glory. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Father, we thank You for the blessing today. Thank You for the anointing that makes rich. Thank You for them, Father. We just give You glory today. Thank You, thank You, thank You, thank You. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.